All right, Rosenbaum here with another fun-filled episode of that Fornicate podcast. This week's topic, we're going to talk about how plant providers can stay out of trouble. Just some advice over the years on how a plant provider can avoid being the scapegoat of the week, as they would say from the movie Fletch, or just, you know, developing a really bad reputation as a retirement plant provider. But first things first, let's talk about our events. April the 8th, we are going to have that 401k virtual bunch. It's supposed to be Scott Tanker, but I think we're going to have to reschedule because Scott has another commitment, I believe. On April 22nd, we're going to go with James Moyna, CPA. And on May the 10th, a special Monday episode, we're going to have, it's going to be in a webinar type discussion because it's with Congressman Jamie Raskin. So it's certainly going to be a lot of fun. Go to my Twitter handle, see the articles to sign up as part of those Zoom meetings, as well as that 401k virtual conference number 10, which is going to be on Friday, April 9th. At noon Eastern Standard Time. And then we're going to have some live events, hopefully. Right now, as it's scheduled, I believe on September 29th, which I believe is going to be a Wednesday. Actually, I think it's going to be a Tuesday. We'll have to look at the schedule. September 29th, Houston, Minute Maid Park. That 401k conference returns live, as well as Friday, September 10th in St. Louis at Busch Stadium. We will give you updates as to the date and time for the Minnesota event. Just got my first shot last week, so hopefully the pandemic will eventually end. It obviously went a lot longer than we expected, and you know, hopefully we can have some live events. We're certainly going to have Las Vegas in December. And then, you know, turn to 2022 when we know that we can have these previously 2020 scheduled events in 2021. So anyway, go to that401ksite.com for further information on all of the events, live and virtual. And then let's talk about this week's topic. How to stay out of trouble as a retirement plan provider. I got a running joke, and people have that running joke with me for the past 25 years where, you know, somebody will tell me or I tell them to stay out of trouble. When I tell somebody that I can't stay out of trouble, that's a joke. As somebody who's very, very opinionated over the years, needless to say, that puts you in a certain amount of trouble. There's a good trouble, which is, you know, again, developing issues and fighting for what's right, which I have done over the years. And then there's the bad kind of trouble for, you know, really doing wrong. And, you know, as someone who's been very, very vocal and willing to stand up for what I really believe is right, you know, I can never stay out of that good kind of trouble. And I avoid staying out of that bad kind of trouble because I think that it's important in this business to have a good reputation. And one way to have a good reputation is number one on my list. It's a mantra, you know, and I won't curse it, but it's don't be an a-hole. I think that that's the simplest rule in life. You know, I'm sure someone who will be upset when I use the word a-hole, but, you know, the fact is I'm 49 years old. I've been a risk, it's almost 49 years old. I'll be that way in May. So I'm not going to censor myself. I'm very explicit. And I just think that, you know, probably my most important rule in life is not to be one. You know, in an edited version, don't being an a-hole means that you really should treat people the way you want to be treated. And I find that most of the time that philosophy works. I mean, occasionally it doesn't. People take advantage of you. You know, and even when they do, for the few that do treat you badly after you treat them well, I don't go for a tit for tat. I'm not going to stoop to their level. I have too much respect for the retirement plan business to stoop to this really poor level. And recently, I came across a former coworker of mine who just took a voluntary buyout from a firm. He is somebody that I worked with many years ago, and he was a very good influence in my career in terms of social media and marketing and advertising. And we were, we well, it's not like exactly that we had scorecards, but we would check and talk about some of the former coworkers, and our scorecards are very similar to those coworkers that were great to work with, and those that, were just, really awful. Right Said Fred is one of those guys that at this firm I joke about somebody that just was just a miserable person to work with, and the other person agreed. You never really, at least in my career, you never forget the people who helped you, and you will actually have a better memory of those that didn't. And it's unfortunate that way, but I think that's sometimes the way my mind works, and I think that most of the time that most people's mind works. While I'm a positive person most of the time, I always talk the ways that I was treated poorly. I mean, if you ever read my stuff, how much I couldn't stand working at that semi-prestigious law firm in Long Island. And the reason I always dwell on how poorly I was treated is that it's, in my mind, I think it's people can act professionally. I think it's easier to act professionally than just to go out and just be a miserable person, and as a coworker. And the retirement plan business is a relationship-driven business, and having zero skills in dealing with people isn't going to help you. And I think it's better in life to be remembered as somebody who was nice and decent than somebody who was like just miserable to work with. There was one coworker at a TPA that I worked at, and she was miserable. She was a backstabber. I have nothing nice to say about her, but she could have easily been nice and acted professionally. I don't understand. I think that she stabbed people in the back and was unprofessional with people because she wanted to protect her spot. She was somebody who had worked for, started out in the file room and worked her way up. And quite honestly, based on her professionalism and her understanding of the retirement business, in my opinion, she should have stayed in the file room. And I think that maybe that's the reason why she was just untrustworthy and just a miserable person to work with. But I think, what's helped my career out is having good relationships with people for the most part, and treating people nicely. You don't get anywhere, in my opinion, by just being rude and obnoxious and ticking people off. And when I worked, years ago, I worked when I was a tax LLM student. I worked at a Boston law firm, and to this day, I'll still remember the partners that were nice to me and the partners that were not nice to me. I mean, people who were just like obnoxious, and you just never forget that. And I think that, in my opinion, it's better to be known as somebody who is nice than someone that's not. I always believe that if I treat people poorly, the word about that is going to travel faster than if I was nice to them. People talk, and the way you poorly treat people is certainly going to get back to you, and it's not something that you just, need. And your business and reputation will suffer for it. Next on my list is obviously don't be a thief. You would think that advice would be rather simple, but really it isn't. Thieves aren't just the plan fiduciaries who embezzle money for 401k plans like Matt Hutchinson and Jeff Ritchie. There are plenty of providers out there that steal from clients that don't serve time in jail or get arrested because theft has different definitions when it comes to retirement plans. In my opinion, plan providers that cheat plan sponsors out of fees that the plan sponsors are not really aware of, to me, that's a kind of theft. And when fee disclosure was implemented in 2012, it was a big game changer in retirement plan business because it really required transparency in a business that really needed one. Because, plan sponsors had to have a duty to pay reasonable plan expenses. And when you don't know how much you're being charged, you can't fulfill that duty. Fee disclosure regulations was a huge change in this business, and it made many providers out there to vacate their retirement plan business. A lot of the insurance companies said, you know what, we can't work in a fee transparent environment. We're going to go out of business. We're going to exit the retirement plan business. While fee disclosure regulations did eliminate so many abuses, there are still some, as I call it, a hustle. I've talked about it quite a bit of late, my problems with a certain TPA with their deconversion fees and termination costs. I work on a plan that terminated the TPA. What I got back was, deconversion fees that were representative of 10% of the annual fee, and then the TPA that charged on an annual basis, which included the $5,500 and the valuation, because they were terminated in February of 2021, they deemed that they were not responsible for the 2020 $5,500. And on top of that, they wanted $70,000 to complete it, which was outrageous compared, based on the fact that, in my opinion, they were paid for it. And second, even if we take their argument that they weren't, that fee represented more than 50% of the annual fee paid to a plan. I think the problem with a practice like that is, I always think that once in a while you're going to pick a fight with the wrong person. And of course, this TPA picked the fight with me. And we'll see what happens in terms of what this TPA thinks they could have gotten away with, as to what the Department of Labor would allow them to get away with. But, I think the problem here is that, we were dealing with a TPA that has decided to use that termination of services and termination costs and deconversion fees and $5,500 fees is a punishment for people that terminate the TPA. And, I think deconversion fees and termination costs are a big problem today with TPAs and 401k plans because, unless the formula is discussed in the contract or, stated to the dollar, I think TPA is going to have a problem if a plan sponsor would complain to the government about excessive fees and how these deconversion fees are not specified in the agreement and issues regarding 5,500s and any other additional fees that a TPA that got fired is willing to put on a plan sponsor. And so I think it's important, that as a plan provider, your contracts are clear as to termination, what costs that you're owed, how the process is going to be, and be professional about it. If the contract is vague, you're going to have a problem when you want to get paid for doing work and deconverting the plan. But I still think deconversion fees, I have a tough time with it because again, I rarely see it spelled out in the contract. And it's, to me, a license for plan providers to go haywire and get excessive when we don't need them to be. But unfortunately, that's part of the problem. Next on my list is don't be arrogant. When it comes to organizations, I think, one of the worst personal qualities I see with leadership is arrogance. I'm almost 49 years old and I don't know everything, but there are quite a few plan providers who think they do. You ask them, and they'll tell you. Arrogance, the problem with arrogance is that it blinds you. It doesn't allow you to see change in a business that's constantly changing. I always bring up the Meyer Swasey situation because, we had a managing attorney over there who, her name was Lois. The woman did not like me for some reason. And, I knew back then, the way she thought about social media, the way she thought about, you know, how I would mark myself with such disdain. You know, she was stuck in her ways. She listened to the wrong people. But I think that, you know, quite honestly, she was just very, very arrogant. You know, she was a legend in her own mind. And history has shown over the past 11 years since I've left, the firm is maybe 40% of what it was 11 years ago. You know, I knew back then they were in trouble. And history has shown, you know, that I'm right, that firm is not what it used to be. You could see the train wreck a mile away, but, you know, Lois can see that of her arrogance. Now it's 2021. I think she's of counsel. You know, she won lots of awards for being such a great managing attorney. And, you know, when we look at it, she killed the firm. And then she, you know, not only killed the firm, she could walk away from it and pretend that she had nothing to do with it. And, you know, over the years, I've certainly met a lot of plan providers who know everything, and almost all of them are struggling or no longer in business. You don't know everything. And if you do, you're a fool. The business is constantly changing, and one of the ways to stay out of trouble is to not be arrogant, be open to change. How many plan providers out there who, you know, would pocket revenue sharing without disclosing to the client? How do they fare after fee disclosure regulations came in? I don't think they did very, very well. That's just my two cents. Next on my list, it's common sense, you know, cooperate with the government. There's no point in hiding. And I assure you, I have personally known people who went to jail. I mean, plan sponsors who went to jail because they would not answer the questions of a DOL agent. Government agents, IRS, DOL, they work slowly, but they end up getting done what they needed to get done. You know, they may be slow to the take, as they say, but in the end, they always get their person. I guess it's like the Mounties. Bad business can shut down your doors. But I think that, you know, ignoring IRS and DOL agents that are on your tail, there's no point in it. There's no point in hiding. They will find you, and it's important to have good relationships with IRS and DOL agents, because I assure you that if you don't, there will certainly be problems, greater problems coming your way. Next on my list, a good way to keep out of trouble is obviously keeping good staff. You know, I will always say that good help in the retirement plan business is really hard to come by. I see it daily with a lot of plan providers and some of the administrators that, you know, that I have to work with, or, you know, back when I was a TPA attorney and seeing the lack of training that a lot of the administrators just didn't get. And, you know, one of the great ways in dealing with the lack of good help is treating your employees with enough respect and benefits that they won't look elsewhere for employment. Turnover is not good for your business. Not only are you spending to find people, you're spending time in training people and getting them used to your way of doing things. And if you have well-trained staff, don't let them go. They're not, you know, they're not non-fungible. They are non-fungible. It's hard to find good help. You know, you got to treat your employees well. I mean, it's pretty simple, but you'll be surprised how often plan providers lose good staff because they didn't treat their employees very, very well. You know, I jokingly say the only time I ever got a $300 bonus once, I started work for Harvey Berman as an attorney. The first job I got, December 1998, here was a holiday bonus of $300, and that's all I ever got. Keeping good staff will certainly keep you out of trouble. Losing good staff, you know, again, it may require to lower the quality of your services, and, you know, again, spending a lot of time in finding replacements, and sometimes the next replacement, that replacement doesn't work out, so you have to hire somebody else. I remember years ago, I worked for somebody who had a secretary for 20 some odd years, and they hired a replacement, and you just knew that that replacement was going to be a disaster, and I think the replacement lasted 2, 3 months. And when I left that TPA, I was the top ERISA attorney, only practicing ERISA attorney for that TPA firm. And when I left to go to a union law firm, which I've discussed fairly recently about what an ill fit that was, but when they took time to hire a replacement, they interviewed somebody and hired that person the same day, which I thought was a mistake. And this guy was his name was Andy, and I'm talking to Andy, and he's telling me about what he intends to do, and I'm like, you know what? That's not how we work over here. We're not gonna. You can't rely on the administrators to do your job. They will fight. And I said to myself, this Andy guy, he's not gonna last 6 months. And he lasted 3. So it's important to not lose sight of the fact that one of your most important assets out there are your employees, and it's important to treat them with respect, to keep them, treasured or honored, that they wouldn't consider, leaving for somewhere else. Last but not least on my list, my game theory, Ari's game theory. And, game theory, I learned that from a beautiful mind. It's the study of mathematical models of strategy among rational decision makers. And, the way I see game theory is trying to figure out what the other side might react to in any given situation. So when I use that example of that TPA that wanted to punish my plan for a Form 5500 that was already paid for, I acted in a calculated manner. Anything I did, I was calculated in, trying to identify in the way I acted how the TPA would react to my emails that I didn't even write at the time that I was thinking about. I was always plotting my next move, and it's important as a rational decision maker to make rational choices and not to make flippant choices that blow up in your face. So when I told the TPA that maybe we should consider talking to the Department of Labor as to what would be a fair choice in terms of fees, I really thought the TPA was going to be rational and was going to back down. Instead, I was wrong, and the TPA acted irrationally. Unfortunately, when that TPA, the president of the TPA, has narcissistic personality disorder, that kind of is a big wrench in things. But when I got the reaction where they just went DEFCON 5 or whatever it was, DEFCON 1, I think is the worst before nuclear war. I knew that that could have been one of the answers. I was surprised that they weren't rational, but that was one of the choices that, that they would act irrationally and things would blow up. So, I think it's important to understand that every action by you is going to have a reaction by somebody else, and I think you can stay out of a lot of trouble by identifying what those reactions will be or could be. So again, in my situation, I thought that, they would back down, but I did plan for the fact that they may be irrational and not back down. What was the funny side story to it is, I did make a complaint about one of the TPA's employees to one of these organizations, and the owner of the TPA sends me this attorney grievance form that they're going to file against me. And to this day, I still have never been contacted as of whether it's been filed or not. I think that, again, every action by you is going to have a reaction by somebody else. And again, you think about what you do and think about what the response will be. If you take away a benefit from an employee, raise the rates on how you charge clients, you need to identify any of the possible reactions before you act. If you raise fees 20%, realize that some plan sponsors may fire you. Look at what the possible ramifications are for every action that you make. And that will help you think things through and make calculated decisions rather than something that's completely off the wall and irrational. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of That 401k Podcast. I certainly enjoy talking about it. Go to that401ksite.com for further information on all the virtual and live events that we got scheduled for 2021. Thanks. Take care.